the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.
Hey, this is Roy Richardson, the Tech Troublemaker, and tonight this is an episode of the One-Off Technology Podcast Live. This is episode 35 of Season 3, if anybody's paying attention. If you're not paying attention, it doesn't matter what episode it is. Tonight, I have one topic. I know normally I come on, I do a bunch of news, and I talk about all these different topics, but tonight, we're only going to talk about one thing. We're going to talk about cryptocurrency, because I've had so many people ask me, Roy, could you do a show about cryptocurrency? And I did an episode several months back about crypto that just kind of went into the origins of it. I didn't go too deep, but tonight we're going to get a little deeper into it. And in order to do that, I have invited somebody that knows way more about it, because as I always say, if you're the smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. So I invited somebody that knows way more about it. And so here is my guest, Kurt Grella. Kurt, he's from 101 Blockchain Street, and he's out on Twitter as @KurtGrella. And so if you're a big Twitter fan, you should go there and follow him. And follow 101 Blockchain Street, too, and I'm going to hush and let him talk. Introduce yourself, sir.
Perfect. Thanks, Roy. Thanks for letting me join the show. I'm Kurt Grella. I'm from 101 Blockchain Street. I've been in the cryptocurrency for the last, believe it or not, about 8 years. So I've gone through a couple cycles. I've seen the peaks. I've seen the troughs. And I'm excited to hear your questions and go back and talk cryptocurrency.
Okay. And so we're going to start off first with a disclaimer. Why would I do that? Because I saw lots of people, you know, showing disclaimers and said, hey, no. So let's see if I get this right. We're gonna do a disclaimer first. Because that's what I do, okay? All right. So first of all, you've asked... You wanted me to talk about it. What is cryptocurrency? And here's our disclaimer. This episode is about cryptocurrency, and as such, cryptocurrency in itself is highly speculative. We may have managed to make some money with it, or like the stock market, but the stock market wildly fluctuates, and there's never any guarantees you're going to make any money. There are people that have gotten rich. There are people who have taken their savings and gone bust. And so anything we share on this episode is well-researched opinions. So just be aware. And so the advice also is worth exactly what you pay for it. So you paid nothing for it, so therefore that's what it's worth. So proceed at your own risk. And so, yeah. All right. And Kurt Grella from 101 Blockchain Street, here it is. Follow him on Twitter. I promise you, very interesting articles. I like watch several videos of his, and he does have a YouTube channel, but he prefers you follow him on Twitter. He can hype his YouTube channel there. But so Kurt Grella is a crypto expert, and like I said, he's been investing for quite some time. And yes, if only I had invested more when I had a chance, it would have been, well, I might not even do a web show anymore. No, I'm kidding. So we'll see. So here's where Kurt's going to really kick in, but what is cryptocurrency? And so basically cryptocurrency is digital currency. And you're going to say, what? So it's where you're taking paper money, government-backed currency, and you're exchanging it for ones and zeros. And Kurt, you want to elaborate more than that?
Sure. So different blockchains have different types of cryptocurrency. So different communities build these. They work off of kind of blockchains, and they issue certain types of coins for types of behavior. So I once signed up for a website and I earned a couple XYZ coin, let's say, and it was kind of rewarding the behavior. And even now, like, you can play video games and earn cryptocurrency, and some of that cryptocurrency has value. So it's basically a medium of exchange that's tracked on a ledger, and that it's a global ledger on multiple computers around the world.
Yeah, and so I've done a previous video, which I'll put a link to it up here, and to a previous video where I've gone into great detail about what blockchain is. But blockchain basically is that process of calculating all those transaction codes. Every transaction is unique and has its own identifier, and so the blockchain process where everybody's buying up all the NVIDIA cards is to do the processing of the entire database that contains all those transaction codes and to try to keep it all honest, as much as honest can be. So is that pretty much correct? If I get it wrong, I'm okay. I can live with that.
Yeah, no, it's like the single source of the truth, right? It's the global ledger. And once a block is closed, you can't reopen the block.
Right. Okay. And so where did cryptocurrency come from? So roughly 2008, and a programmer whose alias was Satoshi Nakamoto, who may or may not exist depending on who you ask, kind of created the original technology that formed blockchain and that later led to cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin. And any elaboration on that?
So there's been some work before that. So there were some people in the late 90s who tried to do kind of cryptocurrency and different things. A couple of things failed, but they leveraged the previous work, and that's how Bitcoin was created.
Cool. All right, so I have a fable for you. So I want this is my way of trying to make it make more sense. So here's my fable. So we bought a painting for $100. In this case, secretly on the screen, there's an M.C. Escher picture that he did, a lithograph of himself, a self-portrait. But let's just say this artist isn't famous yet. So the artist became famous, and now suddenly this painting that you have is worth $1,000. So you paid $100. It's now worth $1,000. The artist is arrested for theft, not that M.C. Escher ever was, and goes to jail. So now suddenly your painting is worth $1. You lose $99. And then Elon Musk on Twitter says this artist is the best artist in the world. Now your painting is worth $1,500. Then the next day, tomorrow, Elon says he only wants art by Dogecoin. That's his favorite artist now. And your painting drops in value all over again. So that is essentially how cryptocurrency is working right now. Now, admittedly, there's a lot more bells and whistles and a lot more details than that. But like stocks, cryptocurrency is very volatile, and it may not always be that way, but it is now. Kurt, what's your thoughts on that? Is that a pretty accurate fable?
It's, I mean, going back to, like, it's very volatile. Basically, I was talking about cryptocurrency for last, I don't know, 5-6 years amongst our friends, but just in April, I was like, imagine if it goes down 50%. And at the time, was at the whole, like, it's all-time high. It's like, just prepare yourself if it goes down 50%. And sure enough, it goes down 50% with like in 8 weeks. And it's hard to stomach that type of fall.
It is. I always think of it, the best way to invest in cryptocurrency is kind of use the McDonald's approach. What's the most you would pay for a meal at McDonald's? Buy that much crypto each time you get paid and just let it sit there. Don't touch it. Don't sell it. Just ride it and just see what happens. But that's just my thought on it.
Yeah, that's the buy and forget strategy.
Yeah.
Buy a little, and even though it doesn't seem like much now, like who knows? It could go to zero or it could go higher.
Well, when it was at 40,000, I wish I had bought more because now it's at 60,000, but we'll talk about it where it is now. And then Doge, depending on how you want to pronounce that.
Doge.
Yeah, Doge. Yeah. Okay, so here's the first question. What is Bitcoin and why is it so popular?
Bitcoin is like the granddaddy. Bitcoin is, it was started like on a mailing list. And they solved one of the fundamental problems that was happening, which was when you send something somewhere, it's usually a copy. But in this instance, you're actually sending the physical, not the physical, but the digital item. And on the ledger, it's tracked that you've sent it to someone. So you no longer own it. So you can pull the ledger at any single time and see who owns which Bitcoins. You can also see the wallets. You can see how many Bitcoins people have. And as most people know, there's only 20 million Bitcoins. I think about 19 million have been mined. And I think like 3 million have been lost, right? A lot of people got in early. They lost their laptops. They, a variety of cases, they lost the passwords. It's been an interesting story to see how it's skyrocketed from almost nothing. Like, there's a tweet from me back in 2011. I was looking at it. I was trying to figure out when was the first time I mentioned Bitcoin on Twitter? And it was like May 2011 or something. And it's like, Bitcoin's up 200,000%. Of course, I'm not going to invest in it, right? No one ever usually invests in something the first time you hear about it. Like, it takes two times, three times, four times, five times. So it's just crazy how it's all happened.
I heard also one video said that it was a group of financial experts said if banks hate it, it's probably the thing to do.
So yeah.
We'll wait and see about that. Okay. So the next question I have are, what are the most popular cryptocurrencies right now?
So there's a list, and there's CoinMarketCap, there's CoinGecko that provides the top market cap coins.
And we can jump over to that now, actually. Let's do that.
Okay. Some people look at the top, like, 10. Some people look at the top 25. And then some people actually look at the top 100. And as of now, there's like 120 companies that are worth, not companies, but projects that are worth more than $1 billion. It used to be only about 40 or 50, but it's more than 100 now. So there's some people who are trying to go for like the ones that are pennies and see if it becomes dollars, right, or sub penny, trying to see if it becomes pennies. But it's kind of like stocks. Like, there's a reason why some stocks are higher and some stocks are lower. So in terms of the popular ones, like, there's Ethereum, there's Solana, there's Cardano. There's quite a few.
Yeah, I was looking at the list right now. Bitcoin, like, more Ethereum, than 4,000. Yeah, Binance Coin, Tether, Solana, Cardano, XRP, Polkadot, and Dogecoin. I always mispronounce that word. I don't know.
You know that one started as a joke, right? The guy made.
I know.
I think the New York Times or Wall Street Journal says the guy made like $10,000 off of it. And then, what is it, $1 billion? It's like $20 billion now? 35?
Yeah, I mean, it was originally a meme, and he did some marketing about the dog, and then, and now he's broke. So, all right. So those are the most popular cryptocurrencies. Oops. Next question. Now, this is a perplexing one to me. What is stablecoin?
Stablecoin is kind of redeemable for dollars. So there's a very popular one in the United States called USDC. So it's United States digital coin, and it's backed by a US dollar. So a couple years ago, or even now, there's one called Tether, but there's been some research where it's not fully backed by one US dollar. They have financial instruments that indicate that it's backed by $1, but I think USDC is the one to go. They went from like $1 billion in the bank to about $30 billion as of like yesterday.
Wow.
And they're regulated by the United States financial system. So it builds trust and confidence in what they're doing.
So almost like the gold standard we once had back in the 60s in a way.
Well, I'm not sure. It's more of like, it's $1, one coin. Yeah. I guess if it's fixed, one price of gold bar. Or ounce, however it's measured.
Okay. All right, my next question is, what crypto exchanges can we trust?
So if United States, I would recommend staying in the United States. There's Coinbase. Most of you have heard of that, probably. There's Kraken. There's OKCoin. There is Bittrex. And there's actually, I think, one more. But most of those you can trust. They're regulated by the United States government. They do KYC, which is know your customer. You have to submit identity documents to sign up. I mean, it's normal opening, like, it's like opening up a checking account or opening up a stock market account, like a trading account.
Hmm. Yeah, and also PayPal. Though the issue with PayPal is it's kind of like a walled garden kind of thing. It's kind of how to get it out there. Venmo also, but Venmo, if you don't know, is owned by PayPal. And so now Venmo will let you buy Bitcoin as well. Coinbase will let you watch videos and take quizzes to earn free crypto from other currencies. Not Bitcoin, mind you, but from other currencies that have just come out. And so that's one way to, without getting heavily in debt there, just go in and earn some free crypto by just answering questions after you watch the videos. They're pretty easy. And usually the quizzes, if you miss the first question, we'll let you go back and answer the question again. So you're going to win. You're going to get that. And if it happens to be a crypto that's going to go up in value, then it could work out. So,
yeah, I've done that. I've actually watched the 2-minute video, 3-minute videos. Maybe there's 5 of them and you earn like $10. In some cases, if you share it with your friends, you also get like $10 more. But yeah, I like that incentive.
Yep. Let's see. We've had some visitors here. So let's go find out who all came. Marcus is out there. Hey, Marcus. It's 3 a.m. where you are, man. You must really want to know about crypto to come see me this early in the morning. But thank you. Sheila B says, wash hands of crypto or just in general, I should be washing my hands. I don't know. Barbara. Hey, Barbara, I don't know if you've been here before, but thanks for coming by. She says, hi, Roy. Thanks. And Marcus also says, hey, Kurt.
Hello.
Sheila says, hey, Kurt. Let's see. LazyKiller818 says, hello, I heard cryptocurrency. He wants to know your thoughts on XRP and then M.XLM.
So XRP, it's gone through a lot of legal things. I think the SEC came after them saying that they did a illegal security raise. But the criticism of the SEC is, why say something like 4 years later? Like, if there was an issue, you like, why not speak up like maybe 6 months or within a year of it happening? So I don't know the status of that one. I know that there's still a lot of community behind that. Like, it was all the way down to 20 cents, and I think it's like, what, $1.20 or $1.50 now? Hmm. But you'll see that community really drives these projects. So I don't own any, but I know it's definitely of interest. And then XLM. So my understanding is one of the guys who used to be part of XRP is also doing XLM. So XLM has done a lot of international work. I know Coinbase actually was, I think they had some of these videos for XLM. So I think I earned like $20 in XLM at one point.
Yeah, I have some XLM. I'd heard of it on Coinbase.
I think the transaction fees like Ripple or like XRP are low. But I don't have any specific more than that. Okay. It's a top 10 project, so there's definitely like community support behind it. But yeah, I don't actively follow either one anymore.
Okay. Sheila wants to know, so crypto value is just speculative value?
So I'm not sure if it's speculative. Like, as of last night, there's $3 trillion in cryptocurrency. Like, when I said there's more than 100 projects that are worth $1 billion, if you add up all of it, it's $3 trillion. United States economy is like $17 trillion or $18 trillion. And so, of course, cryptocurrency is worldwide, right? So what's the global GDP? Like, unfortunately, I don't know offhand.
Yeah.
But it's like stock prices. People pay for future possibilities.
Yeah, and I was going to say, funny enough, in Argentina and also in El Salvador, Bitcoin is accepted as normal currency there. So while the U.S. hasn't quite joined it, some vendors are accepting Bitcoin and Ethereum, but outside the U.S., there are countries that are saying they're actually going to allow that as a currency in their country. So it's kind of interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, it was El Salvador. So there was like a new president who decided to do that. And there's been a lot of criticism of Bitcoin of using power and like not using renewable energy. And it turns out that they're using like volcanic activity to now mine Bitcoin. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Who would have ever imagined that in the United States, right? Only someone who's... lives next to a volcano would kind of think of something like that.
Geothermal, that's the way to go. Yeah.
Yeah, geothermal.
Laser Killer says, I believe BTC wastes a lot of energy just to do a transfer transaction. So
waste a lot of energy?
That's what he's saying. They said Bitcoin wastes a lot of energy.
Actually, if you have interest in that, there's a guy named Nick Carter. He's launched a couple crypto research firms. He's researched it pretty well. He's actually toured some of these Bitcoin mining facilities, and what he's found is it's actually improving energy in the sense of it's lowering the cost of energy because we're finding better ways to produce it, whether it's, I don't know, natural or a different method. I know a lot of solar energy is being wasted right now. Like, not all the solar energy that we're generating is being used. And so some of the Bitcoin mining farms are moving next to where they can easily get that energy from.
Yeah, a lot of solar farms produce more electricity than is actually being consumed, but with no methodology to store it, then that energy is created but wasted. So, you're definitely right on there. That's very interesting. Sheila asked, it's just a mining thing. Is that just people looking at other people's computers to see if there are Bitcoin transactions or hard drives that people have forgotten? So talk a little bit about the mining. So, I mean, you mentioned earlier about how people early on, some people have lost their passwords, and it's a very complex password you have to have to get into your wallet, so to speak. But yeah.
So I would say early, 2009, 2010, I didn't actually mine, but you could use your laptop, like 2010, 2011, 2012. I think you could use your laptop. And now they have miners that, so that was kind of the first phase. So people would use their laptops to connect to the network, and they would, they would send Bitcoin back and forth. I mean, there's videos of people like sending 100 Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot now, but back then it was worth what? $5, 10 cents, I don't know, but it seemed like you're exchanging nickels. But over time, you were able to have a miner, and people used to put the miner right underneath their desk, keep their office warm. Mm-hmm. But now most of the miners have moved to massive warehouses, even containers. So some of the container, ocean containers, mm-hmm. I've seen some instances where they just drop them and there's just miners inside of them.
I've seen some. I had a bunch of Raspberry Pis, and I wish I had jumped on back when you could actually do Bitcoin mining with Raspberry Pis. Now it's not even possible. You got to have massive GPUs NVIDIA 3090s and stuff like that. So it's just not possible anymore. LadyKiller 818 still says XRP, baby. All right. So this is
a tricky question. Let's say there's thousands. I mean, if you were to look at Twitter and look at XRP, I would say there's at least 100,000 followers. Hmm. So it's it's a massive project. It's a top 10 project. I just don't know the status of that legal thing with the SEC.
Big Red wants to know what form of crypto is the best. So I guess that's kind of a tricky question. It's an opinion question, I would say. But what would your suggestions
be? It depends on what form of crypto?
I think it's kind of like, is it Bitcoin, is it Ethereum, is it, which one would you pick, so to speak?
I mean, think of it as websites. Back in the days, there used to be search engines, right? I used to go to InfoSeek, Excite, and Go.com, and then Google came along, and next instead of using three sites, I used one. So it's going to be the same way, where there's going to be some consolidation, and some of these projects will just be runaway winners. Other ones will just... it will slowly die down, right? The developers will want to go to the better project.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a top. I mean, I have the things I follow. If you're interested in what I'm following, I post the top 10 tweets every single day at 10 o'clock Eastern. And you can kind of catch on. I don't actually say I'm recommending this, but you'll see the tweets that I highlight are the ones that I'm interested in and I think people should know about.
Sure. So you're taking those trends and you're tweeting about them, and so that's one methodology people could use, is start following you on Twitter and find out what trends you're seeing. Donna says, she says, "Hi Roy, welcome to the show, Kurt." This is my wife, by the way. She says, "Thanks for being on the show tonight."
Sure, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
This is Lala, Mommy Guiding Inc., who has a great channel on crafting. By the way, you should follow her. If you're into crafting, I like to watch your videos on Friday mornings at 8 a.m. here because it's 8 p.m. her time. Anyway, she's in the Philippines. Anyway, she says, Says I'm late. We'll definitely have to watch on replay for the parts I missed. So, yep. Thanks so much for coming by.
I mean, speaking of the Philippines, there's a couple gaming projects right now where people are earning cryptocurrency. And so if you spend 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 10 hours playing video games, you're earning this cryptocurrency and people are selling it. And it's more than you could make in some of these developing countries.
That's true. I've also had issues with different Trojans and malware getting on your computers that actually use your computer to do crypto mining. Certain websites, they'll go through a JavaScript and they'll drop a payload on your browser. And so in the background, you're helping mine crypto. And so, yeah, but I think now it's even got to the point where that's not even profitable anymore because it takes so many computers to make it happen. So, so the next question. So what are crypto wallets?
Crypto wallets, there's different types. So when I first started, it was all about kind of using the computer. But you can have a crypto wallet on your phone now. And you can also have a hardware wallet. So there's a couple brands. There's Ledger. There's one other one. Treasure. And then there's like some other off-brand ones. But those two are the industry standards. You can buy them. You can buy them on Amazon, but I actually wouldn't recommend that. I recommend buying them directly from the manufacturer in case they're compromised. Like I had a friend buy a computer from Amazon, and of course the vendor doesn't want to honor the warranty, right? Because it's not from Best Buy or it's not from an established vendor. So even though Amazon's huge, whatever, but Amazon doesn't sell all the products. Like they have a lot of people selling under their supply chain. So you never know what you're kind of getting. So yeah, Ledger, Treasure. If you're doing a crypto wallet, it depends on the ecosystem that you're part of. When I say ecosystem, I mean like blockchain. Right. There's Bitcoin wallet, there's an Ethereum wallet, there's Ledger actually bridges some of that because you can have multiple coins on the same Ledger device.
Okay, and Coinbase has a app-based wallet now, but you have to do this weird, you have to pay a transaction fee to move it from them into the wallet, and then you have to remember you have to keep the code. It's a really long, crazy code, but you have to remember. Yeah. You got to remember all the words, and you don't want to lose that because if you lose it, you lose all that money. So, I mean, think about, let's say you bought $1,000 worth of Bitcoin, and then it kept going up, and it went to an insane amount, and you lost the keys. It's gone. It is gone. It's like losing the keys. It's not like losing the keys to your car. You can't call a locksmith and get new keys. Once you lose those keys, because that is the only keys that fit your wallet, you're done. You've lost it. And, you know, as Kurt mentioned, there's people that have lost crazy amounts of money. And there was one guy, I remember reading the story, was actually going through a landfill. He had thrown a hard drive away and was trying to find it. And it was worth so much to him that he literally was going through the landfill trying to find this hard drive. So, just crazy.
And he was trying to get other people to do it. It's like a treasure, right? You're trying to convince other people to join you and share the find if there's a treasure.
Yeah. Good luck with that. So, next question. What are some? So I already showed one, CryptoGecko. But what are some of the best sites to kind of check current values of cryptocurrencies? So what are your favorite sites for?
I use CoinGecko a lot. I will say that once you start, it's kind of like stock prices. You will start checking a lot. And so a good approach is buy and forget, in the sense of buy a little. If you watch it every single day, you're going to get seasick. That's my recommendation. Like, it's just like stocks. It's up 2%, down 2%, up 3%. And then the news changes, right? Should I sell? Should I buy? But buy, like, I mean, I take the plunge, but like stay afloat. Like, you don't want to sink to the bottom.
Yeah. Don't do this as a day trading.
That's,
it's very equivalent. Yeah, anybody that gets so insane.
Like, how much you spent in fees.
Yeah. Oh, and that was, well, we're not going to talk about NFTs on this episode, but the process and the fees involved with doing NFTs and the amount of money you have to make off an NFT to even justify the fees and all that. So that's for a different episode for a different day. I don't know if you're into NFTs really, but I get.
So I am, and I will say that's the Ethereum blockchain right now, where there's high cost NFT exchanges, and then there's Solana, who's lower cost, and there's also Stax. So each ecosystem, each blockchain is kind of leveraging NFTs. At first, I thought it was just a digital picture, but it turns out if you're an artist, you could get reoccurring revenue for the life of that artwork. It's going to be pretty interesting. So I'm definitely interested in talking more about that.
If this isn't the worst experience you ever had, maybe you'll come back for an episode and we'll talk about NFTs. So.
This is great. Thanks, Roy.
What are the best sources for research and investing in cryptocurrency? So what do you recommend people use for just kind of researching and kind of figuring out where to dip their toes into the cryptocurrency market, so to speak?
I would start with kind of the wallets. So if you go to like Venmo, if you go to PayPal, they have a little landing page where it provides the background, it provides what it is. Same thing for Coinbase and Kraken and OKCoin. They provide the information there to all their users. And you'll get familiar with the terms. At first, it'll be all like, I don't understand a thing. But over time, you'll see, oh, yeah, I know what that is. So I recommend starting there, where I don't have any particular recommendations outside of the exchanges.
Okay.
Or the wallets, because I feel like they're doing a very fair job of it.
Okay, cool. Okay, now here's probably my last question. So what about cryptocurrency crashes, such as, for example, the Squid Game crypto scam that just happened last week, where somebody walked away with millions of dollars and everybody else lost everything? So
yeah.
How do you avoid that?
I saw that, and actually I didn't partake in that. But what happens is you launch a project, you convince people that this project is the future. They're going to sell coins at a super cheap price, so some people buy in early. And then there's different kind of swap exchanges that you're able to swap the currency for, like Ether or some other currencies. And over time, you could restrict the supply of the coin. So as the demand increases, your price just skyrockets, right? And you can also buy and kind of manipulate the market. So it's pretty sketchy. That's why I suggest sticking with the exchanges, especially the first couple years, because you don't want to get mixed into the kind of, it's really unregulated in that sense, because anyone can start their own coin. You can build support around it, but the risk is very high at that point. And people say it's only $100, right? But it's also your time. You're going to spend hours researching it. And if it's only $100, it may not be worth your time.
Oh, that, but yeah, that's true. In that case,
they lost everything, right?
They did. Completely lost. Yeah,
I think it was like 2,000 and then it went straight to zero. And there's a famous, like infamous video where this guy's like, I'm rich, I'm poor. Like, it was crazy to watch.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's just so crazy. It is. Let's see. Marcus says, NFT is a fascinating topic. You are so right. Marcus also advises, be careful with crypto. Oops. Where people promise big wins and pump and dump. So, yeah. Sheila asks, should it be regulated? Wow, she says, should it be regulated? And I think it's going to wind up sort of being regulated. The U.S., of course, can't regulate it everywhere, but I see the Securities and Exchange Commission, they've already made comments and made statements. I think that stablecoin is going to be kind of one thing where the U.S. gets a lot deeper in it. Well, I mean, what are your thoughts on whether it should be regulation or not, and what the future of it?
It's quite regulated right now. In order to sign up for an account, you've got to submit an ID, your driver's license or a passport. They validate that through some third-party broker of saying you are who you say you are. They validate your phone number. It's like opening a financial account. The biggest concern has been illegal securities, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to convince people to buy your security and then it's like they call it a rug pull, right? You're sitting on the rug and someone pulls out from underneath you. So that's the biggest concern. In terms of regulation, I think stable coins, much more regulation because they focused on $1, one coin rather than financial instruments that could be a dollar, could not be a dollar. I think the United States wants to lead the world in this. And China, like, the reason Bitcoin and the whole market kind of tanked over the summer is China banned Bitcoin for like the 100th time. They ban it like every couple months.
Yeah.
But it really scared the market. Like, the miners really left the country, and the United States actually benefited from that. So I do think that the United States is going to benefit from the security rules that we have for the global financial system.
China is very, it's crazy because they are already, they're creating their own digital currency, and they have so much control over the people and the government. They are forcing people to use their digital currency. They already had digital passports where your credit worthiness, your social stance, everything is determined by this. So China's moves are very interesting. And I know, as you said, they keep banning cryptocurrency, and then they'll kind of open back up, and then they'll ban it again. In the end, it's all about making money, but yet controlling the populace. So China's just interesting. That's really interesting. So, see, Marcus says that it should be regulated because it's a wild, wild west. But I don't know what for, but it should be regulated, perhaps. I guess I'm curious to see what happens in the future with Bitcoin, because it's such a fascinating, not just Bitcoin, but cryptocurrency in general. I've invested some in Bitcoin and some in Ethereum, and then, of course, I did all the freebies at Coinbase allows you to do by watching videos, and that's it. I jokingly say my goal is to have enough Bitcoin or cryptocurrency so that in the event that my computer gets encrypted, I have enough money to pay the ransom. So just get the computer back. I just want my computer back. So, but I'm also a paranoid type who backs up my computer with 3 different cloud services and also uses an external hard drive to back it up. So you're going to have to plan. Anyway, I just got to have it backed up. So, definitely, what other thoughts do you have, Kurt? I know, definitely a later episode, I would love to definitely talk about NFTs. Any other thoughts you have tonight before we close the show out?
Sure. I think everyone always remembers the first time they heard about Bitcoin and they wish they did something. And it's kind of like, back in the 90s, people talked about email, people talked about like getting on the web, but it took a couple of years for most people to adopt to email. Like, I didn't have an email account for many years. And even building websites, I thought, I was like, who would spend their time on the computer? Like, why would we do something like that? Like, you can just pick up the phone and call someone, right? Why send an email? But you've seen how it's transformed society. And I believe that the entire financial system will actually be on like the crypto rails, different communities, blockchain communities. It's going to be interesting.
Definitely. One topic I didn't think to ask, but it popped in my head. So, tax implications. And so, I haven't traded any currency. I've only bought currency. I haven't sold anything. It's kind of like stock. If you make any money off of it, you have to report it, that type of thing. There are mentions, though, that the currency exchanges are going to have to report and give you tax statements to show what you did, and that may be required. What are your feelings about tax regulation, and what are the current tax regulations? Of course, this is opinion, tax advice. Please talk to a financial consultant or a tax person. But Kurt,
it depends on the country you live in. The United States, it's going to function very similar to the way the stocks are. So if you have gains, they're going to be taxable. If you're staking coins and you're earning that, it's usually like ordinary income. But it's very similar to the way stocks are. I will say, if you don't sell, you don't need to file taxes, right? Because you don't have any gains or losses. And as you may know, like every single year you can write off, I think it's $3,000 in losses per year, just the same as stocks. And it's gonna be the same way. Your accountant's gonna go through it, your trades, in an Excel document. If you file taxes yourself, it's the same way. But yeah, I think if you trade more than $25,000 or something on an exchange, they give you the form. But I don't think if you trade less than that, I don't think they will give you that form. At least it hasn't been in previous years. Maybe they changed that.
I think the dollar amount is $600. I don't know where that came from. Something recently came out that the IRS was going. They also are saying that they're going to require reporting on the Cash App and on Venmo.
Yeah, Venmo and Cash App.
And PayPal if you're doing that as well. So I had heard somebody potentially they were going to require that for crypto. Let's see. Big Red says, could there ever be a day where conventional currency is ditched for digital currency? And my opinion is yes. But what's your opinion, Kurt? Do you think?
I mean, I think the United States, I think the governments will still want to issue their own currency because that's how they pay their bills, right? If they print it too quickly, the inflation's going to happen and then people won't have trust in the currency. But if you slowly print currency, like it's not that noticeable. And the United States has been very good in that. But people could say that's different in the last couple of years, right? Because we've given massive stimulus across the economy, given out free money for the first time, right? If, going back to that tax refund, right? If you were to take that, was it $1,200 or $1,600?
Oh, yeah.
18 months ago, that's worth like more than 10 grand now. It, had you bought Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But a lot of people just spent it.
I know. I spent it. I paid bills with it. I thought that was a good thing. I see the world as becoming kind of dystopian, especially, and I said I wasn't going to say this word in this episode at all, metaverse. So when Facebook's metaverse happens and they're the gateway to everybody else, you will use their currency, which is a crypto. It was called Libra. Now it's called, I know they changed it. I can't remember what the
name is. It's called Deem. So right now they have a project in Guatemala, which is actually the place I did my master's thesis in access to credit. So Guatemala is an interesting case study for me. But yeah, Facebook's right there. It's called DIEM. And they're trying to onboard people to crypto. Yeah. And right next door in El Salvador, that's the Bitcoin where they've implemented Bitcoin.
And so there's a world where Facebook, and that's the currency that you use to buy digital items and potentially physical items in that place that Facebook calls the metaverse. And so I think it's coming. I agree. Marcus says, I doubt it. You know, he's saying that he doesn't think that money will go away completely. But I actually see a world far into the future where currency as we know it goes away and everything is current is digital anyway. I mean, if you think about it now, you never actually see your money per se. Your money's direct deposited into your account. Did somebody drive a truck over with all the money on your paycheck to the bank and put it in? No, it was ones and zeros coming from the Fed and from the bank that they deposit money with. And so account numbers and routing codes and all that. So it's kind of we're kind of already in a digital currency world. It's just a matter of taking that next step. And now Bitcoin and the goal of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies is a decentralized, deregulated currency of sorts. But then to be legitimate, I feel like governments have to buy into it so that they can regulate it, because if they just ignore it, it's a wild, wild west. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
The one interesting thing right now is what's happened in the last couple of months in Miami. So there was the mayor that came in. He was crypto-friendly. A lot of startups moved from New York or San Francisco to Miami to benefit from the weather, but also the community. But there's a project called City Coins, and they launched a Miami coin. And it's a mine-only coin. And that project has generated more than $20 million for the city of Miami. And their budget, like the government budget, is only $100 million. So they've not replaced it, but they've added on 20% of that budget. Like, imagine not paying taxes because of cryptocurrency. Like, I would be in favor of that. Like, imagine if there was another way rather than not to pay taxes, but the government can actually create it. So, and then believe it or not, tomorrow they're launching New York coin. So definitely keep your eyes out on that. You'll start to see it on Twitter feed because Bloomberg's starting to report on it. But it's interesting what's possible.
Wow. That is amazing. Thank you so much for that. Let's see. Sheila says, great show. Thank you both for the information. Kurt, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Definitely, guys need to go look for definitely go look for 101 Blockchain Street, and then definitely follow Kurt on Twitter And so you can keep up with all the amazing things, like, for example, the New York City coin that's coming out. Wouldn't have known that. He's here. He told us that. I'm sure he's already tweeted about that. In fact, I know he did because I was going to mention that. Because I read through his Twitter feed today for a bit just to get prepped for the show. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show tonight. I really do appreciate it. And just thank you for the great information. And so there you go. That's sure. our takeaway. Everybody
Anytime,
get smarter.
Mike, thanks for having me.
All right. Yeah, that's it. I guess we're going to call tonight. Thank you again. I really do appreciate it. It's great meeting you. And thank you for agreeing to be on the show.
Sure. Anytime.
Any last thoughts for everybody?
I mean, I appreciate you inviting me on the show and just sharing what I've kind of experienced and what I know in the last couple of years and kind of giving you an insight to what's happening. I know it's a lot to follow, but it's very interesting in terms of what's possible in terms of cryptocurrency and blockchains and the communities that are happening.
All right. Kurt, thank you again. Thank you so much. Definitely go out and follow him on Twitter. And that's our show. Thank you. I guess I have to cue out the exit music. And everybody have a wonderful night and a wonderful week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.